Peace, you know what it is. It's your man SKYZOO Skyzoo, live from the borough. I'm up here with the homies at Slam Magazine, and this is the Respect the Game podcast. Let's do it.
World, it's your boy Pete Walsh out here on a Cigar Wednesday, episode 24 of the Respect the Game podcast, the Kobe episode.
Mm-hmm.
Out here once again, feeling decent with life at the moment, but not really at all.
I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute.
I'm here with my man's Abe Schwadron, as always. Abe, what's good?
Yo, a.k.a. Weather Channel Chibs, live from the 305, a.k.a. Hurricane Matthew Dellavedova, back in the building.
Yo, speaking of which, I mean, obviously hurricanes are, like, whack as hell. Number one, it'd be a sick job to, be able to name hurricanes, though. And number two, Kenny Anderson has been my meteorologist for the week, gearing me up for everything Hurricane Matthew related.
Yeah, there's really no need to follow any weather sources on Twitter when you have
Hurricane
Chibs.
Hurricane Chibs.
But wait, don't the naming of the hurricanes, doesn't it go in alphabetical order?
Yeah, but you still have to come up with a name, right?
Yeah, I guess, and no repeats of past ones as well.
Damn, you're up on this.
Yo, this is exactly like putting headlines in Slam Magazine. Facts. You got to go in the archives, see which rap songs have already been used as headlines in previous issues of the magazine, and come up with a new one. Yo, I could do this, man. This is my job.
This was going to be our Eastern Conference preview, but I think we're just going to go through the alphabet and come up with
hurricane season preview.
But nah, we're just going to get into the Eastern Conference today.
Well, hold on. Speaking of hurricanes in our lives.
Yeah.
You were destroyed.
Yeah,
you've been destroyed because you lied in the beginning. This is not a Wednesday. This is a Thursday.
Oh, and it is Thursday. Wednesday, oh my God.
Wednesday night. You're trying to black out what happened on Wednesday night.
Damn. So it's Cigar Thursday. My bad. Yeah. Last night was one of the worst nights of my entire life.
Talk about it.
Watching the Mets go down at the hands of the Giants in the wild card game. I wasn't so mad at the outcome. I was just more pissed off at myself for number one
time investment.
Yeah, no, just for caring. And after the game, I was reading all this Twitter stuff and people were like, "Oh, I'm so proud of this team." I'm not proud of this team at all, dog. They lost. You went into this game. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say they should have won. I mean, they had Eric Campbell batting.
Okay.
Pinch hitting. All right.
We don't need the inside baseball
facts. All right, word.
I care more about your state right now. How are you feeling?
I feel awful. I'm just so
all
mad.
Right, so for people that don't follow Peter on Twitter, first of all, correct that, A. Sappington.
Yeah, good looks. But you can catch my conspiracy theory talk with Eric Diemendorf via Twitter.
Yo, facts. What up, Eric? Anyways, shouts to the, what is it, Phantom Time Consortium?
Phantom theory? Time Hypothesis.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, moving on from that. So, Pete, last night after the Mets game, you were ranting a little bit how, what was it? You're never going to let your children root for the Mets.
Yeah, I mean.
So, but I think this is an interesting point, right? Because, well, first of all, explain it and then.
All right, so by my calculation, all right, so. My father birthed me in 1987, so I
Well, your
seen
father didn't birth you.
My father and my mother raised...
Your mother birthed
I was born in 1987. I've been raised since. I've seen the Mets win exactly zero World Series. I'm also a diehard Notre Dame football fan, which has been waning recently because of I just can't stand the fan base at all. So I've become more of a closet Notre Dame football fan until this very moment. But anyway, I digress. And I'm just love watching baseball probably as much or maybe even a little more than basketball, which I guess isn't the right thing to say, but whatever.
We'll edit this out. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, so this season I probably watched.
Well, it's not your job. It's a little easier to consume it as a fan.
Yeah, than, exactly. You know, and I love going to the games and it's fun to just go with friends and bullshit for 3 hours, but whatever. Everyone who's been to a baseball game knows that.
Yeah. When's the last time either of us got to go to a basketball game and not sip some beers and not be freaking out on Twitter or got to get
exactly.
this interview, got to be, watching everything that's happening on the court.
So this season I probably watched over 100 Met games And last night I was just doing the math, and I was like, that's 400 hours of time that I could have just used to take a class or learn a new language or like...
You could literally be doing this in Spanish, this podcast. Yeah, you could be doing this in Russian.
Just really like get into a whole new level of intelligence. I just wasted all that time and energy watching the Mets.
400 hours, bro.
400 hours.
You could have launched like some amazing new Twitter account.
Oh my God, I could have been doing so much more with my life.
Slam Russia.
So then I'm like... This year felt worse than last year's World Series loss because at least like we had the ride, whatever, it was mad special. This was like, all right, you play 162 games okay. And then it's just done in one.
Okay, so let's bring this back to how I wanted to relate this to basketball in the NBA, which is, so I have sort of wrestled with a similar question as far as like, all right, neither of us have children. There's probably many people out there that do. I'd be interested to hear people's thoughts on this if you get to this point in the podcast.
Yeah.
So for myself, I you know, I'm a DC sports fan. I'm a Wizards fan. When I eventually have children, do I let them pick what team they want to root for, or do I steer them to my favorite team, which is the Wizards, knowing that that is setting them up for a life of miserable failure and just heartbreak every single season? Like, how do you... What is the proper way of, do you just let your kid pick whatever team? Because what if he picks the Warriors? Then this kid, you know, is the little shit that is rooting for the Warriors from an East Coast city. And we hate that when, you know, people don't root for their home teams or what. Like, how do you deal with this problem?
I think you let them pick. You
just let them pick.
I wish I had the choice.
Because if you pick, you know, if you're a kid from New York or D.C. or Philly and at 6 years old you decide to be a Warriors fan, that's a pretty good life you're setting yourself up for.
Yeah, a lot of joy. A lot of happiness, not agonizing over a baseball game in October and just knowing the outcome before the game even starts. But then again,
imagine your kid being a Warriors fan and you're a Knicks fan.
I mean, whatever.
God, that would suck.
Why?
Oh, because you're...
You get to see your child happy while you just wallow in your own misery. But no, I was talking to my fiance. I was up at 5:30 this morning. She was up as well going to work. And I was like, we have kids, like... The Mets and Notre Dame are going to be banned from this house. That's it. It's a wrap. I'm not putting another generation through this. My father put my brother and I through this and my sister. And we just got to deal with misery every single year in one way or the other. And yeah, I'm done. I'm fed up, man.
The strangest thing about the situation for me is that my dad let us pick. And me and my brother picked the hometown teams like idiots. And now we're stuck with these DC teams because we're trying to be loyal out here. And now it's... You know, I'm only 27 years into this life. I'm sure there's,
oh my God, I'm only 29 50
years worth of Wizards misery left to go.
That's the thing. It's like it never ends. I can't take it anymore. So my dad texted me after the game. When does the Knicks season start? And I'm like, the Knicks? Why? We got...
Yo, perfect transition.
Oh, my God. The Knicks? I got Phil Jackson smoking peyote trying to run the triangle, man. I can't take that. Like, that's what I have to look forward to? I can't take it. I hate it.
Okay.
Let's
stop here and obviously jump in.
400 hours. All right.
Let's do, like, under 1 hour now talking about Eastern Conference basketball. All right, because, obviously, yeah, we're inching closer to the season. Thank God.
Yeah, facts.
Oh,
it's
my
been,
God.
Like, kind of cool to see preseason games. I admittedly have not been paying that much attention because, I don't know, it just doesn't feel...
I mean, some of them are worth watching. You know, the Warriors, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, we'll save that for the Western Conference preview, obviously. But, yeah, man, like, this is happening.
Yeah.
We got preseason full swing. There's vines and highlights to watch. You know, people doing real media time. No more, you know, bullshit of the summer, basically, like, is here. Let's go.
Yeah, speaking of media time, real quick, shout out to the God, Max Reza Target, and Mike Conley yesterday about the Jordan news. But, yeah, no, I mean, let's just jump right to it. Let's start with the Cavs. Obviously, the favorite in the East, defending champs, probably going to do it again. But, I mean, this J.R. Smith thing is kind of lingering, and it seems like it's not necessarily a distraction, but... should be taken care of sooner than later. I don't know. What do you think about this?
I mean, it's definitely like another one of these strange situations that the Cavs just went through with Tristan Thompson. Like, it's just like a weird vibe happening, and it's hard to know, you know, without us being in the Cleveland scene every day. But like, LeBron James out here campaigning for this guy you wonder what like the internal discussions are with LeBron and management and the whole front office, because it's like it's so painfully obvious that this is like everyone wants it to happen. So it's like, why isn't this happening?
Yeah, they got to get this done, dude. I mean, so thinking back to the Tristan situation,
like, could you see? Is he? Could you? Is there a scenario where he signs with someone else?
I mean, yeah, obviously.
No, I'm just I just it'd be hard to imagine it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, if he signed somewhere else, it's because Rich Paul and co completely botched this whole thing and maybe outsmarted themselves, but which is doubtful because this guy always ends up on top. They did this with Eric Bledsoe, he got paid. And speaking of the Tristan Thompson thing, like last year people made a big stink about him getting huge money. If you win, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's totally worth it. So
yeah,
who
the hell cares?
Yeah, exactly. Like people don't even think about Tristan Thompson's contract anymore. But it was like the talk of, you know, the first couple of months of the season, what a bad deal it was. They won a championship, and you got to pay top dollar to win a championship. That's just what it comes down to. So I think they got to get the J.R. Smith thing done. The other thing with the Cavs that concerns me is their lack of point guard depth. You know, Kyrie Irving, is always susceptible to injury and missing time. Also, a low-key MVP pick because I think he's just going to put up monster numbers with...
And he'll probably play more games than LeBron.
Yeah, play more than LeBron. But, you know, with Dellavedova gone, Mo Williams retiring, they're really short on point guard.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens to championship teams or championship-level teams. When everyone plays well, people get new deals and, you know, veterans retire who were just... there for the last run, or you know, people move on. So like this is what happens with this type of team, is you need young guys to step up. You know, Kay Felders of the world, Jordan McRae. Actually, I saw some people wiling out on Twitter saying Jordan McRae makes J.R. Smith expendable.
No, you need J.R. Smith, dog. Down. He's one of the best 3-point shooters in the league.
You need J.R. Smith because you can't play Shumpert all game.
Facts. Jordan McRae's looked good in the preseason, but I mean, this team starts and ends with LeBron James. And he's still the best player in the league. And, you know, as long as you got him, you're pretty much guaranteed a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm penciling them in.
There's no way that they don't make at least Eastern Conference Finals. And there's basically no way they don't make the finals.
Facts. All right, moving on. A team that really, you know, had a big offseason, making a lot of changes, was the Pacers. They, like, revamped their coaching staff. They got rid of Frank Vogel. I'm
young,
sorry.
Young Vogel.
I'm all screwed up. I didn't sleep at all last time. I was too busy wallowing. Vogel's gone to Orlando. They bring in Nate McMillan. You know, they're making no bones about it, man. Larry Bird wants to win. And, you know, they brought in Al Jefferson, Jeff Teague, Thad Young.
Aaron Brooks.
Like, they're adding veterans to this team because they want to win now. Paul George, really, you know, one of the most underrated stories of last year was the guy literally broke his leg in half and then came back and played 82 games. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he's talking a big game, and he's talking a lot of shit, saying that he's coming for LeBron's spot, that he wants to be considered a top five player in the NBA. And I don't know, do you think this is Paul George's year to shine and really bank on that?
I think it is. I mean, look, it's what you said, like last year coming off that injury, it was a little shaky.
Yeah.
And, like, when he first came back, that's such a wild injury that when he first came back, I mean, I remember interviewing him prior to last season, so basically a year ago right now, and he was still admitting to being a little shaky and, like, he didn't really know how to run on it. I mean, dude, he's, like, full strength now, ready to go.
It's really unbelievable.
And I think people have low-key kind of forgotten how fucking good he is.
He's really good.
Like, at his peak, he's going to challenge to be top five players in the game.
Yeah. I think the quote from the story you did with him, like when he got hurt, it felt like someone dumped gasoline all over his leg.
Yeah,
lit
he
him
said
on
that
fire.
At his first presser back.
Yo. And then to come back from that and play 82 games.
I mean, the craziest
unreal.
Thing is, like, he basically had to sort of teach himself how to run again. Like, there was a play in his very first game back with the Pacers at the tail end of, I guess it's two seasons ago now, that he had a wide open fast break where he normally would have thrown down like a ridiculous dunk like he usually does, and he like got his steps all weird and like missed a wide open layup. So to 18 months later be back and what I think is poised for to be, he's going to be like that, holy shit, should have picked this guy to win MVP like halfway through the season.
Yeah, so right now.
Because he's going to play every game, and he's a star player, and, you know, he doesn't have to really, I mean, there are other guys on his team that will, you know, put up points and put up numbers, but he's not really, like, sharing the spotlight, and, yeah, I mean, looking for a big year out of PG.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of Jeff Teague over George Hill? Do you think that's big enough of an upgrade where, you know, they win an extra 3 to 5 games?
No.
Really? Interesting.
I've never been a big Jeff Teague fan, but I think, you know, as long as they make sure that everything's still centered around Paul George, I think they're going to have a nice year.
Yeah, and I mean,
look, in a league where, like, most benches are pretty mediocre, they have, like, some good firepower off the bench. Like, Al Jefferson coming off the bench.
Al Jefferson can still get you 20 a night on that.
Dude, he's going to destroy second units.
Exactly. That's the big thing. Like, he's going to eat up second unit centers and power forwards. That's such a good call.
Even, like, a C.J. Miles coming up as your seventh guy, like, and then, you can come in and light it up for a couple minutes of time. Not saying he's, like, a world beater, but couple guys, you got Stuckey still coming off the bench, Aaron Brooks, like, they got a good bench over there, low-key.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little worried that, you know, they don't really have, like, a pass-first point guard. Like, all their guards are score-first guards. But, I mean, the big thing for them is, like, how much Miles Turner improves in year two. And I love that, you know, Al Jeff is going to be probably, you know, mentoring him a little bit and, you know, just teaching him low post moves and what have you. But, I mean, moving on, we'll head up north of the border to Toronto, where they're basically running it back. Finished number 2 in the East last year, went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Not even one Drake joke in the setup.
I mean, no.
You're over it.
What, sprained ankles and everything? Drake canceling his tour with sprained ankles?
What the hell is that about?
I don't know, man. Sometimes I really think he feels like he's, like, in the NBA.
Well, he does wear a different jersey every single stop of the tour.
I don't know. He kind of...
Including wearing a Derek Fisher jersey in L.A., man. Ugh.
You're doing too much, Dick.
I don't know. Matt Barnes really might kill him.
Who? Derek Fisher or Drake?
Drake.
Imagine.
How much would you pay more or less than, like, a normal pay-per-view? Like, would you rather see the next Mayweather fight or Matt Barnes versus Drake boxing match?
I think the real question is, would I illegally stream the fight pay for it? I think I'd actually – would I watch it on Twitter or would I actually pay for it?
Would you go to the bar and socialize with people or just watch it at home?
I'd definitely watch it at home, but I'd cop.
Oh, that means you don't really care.
Yeah, but I'd still buy it.
Would you tweet about it?
I don't know.
Or would you stay silent?
I only tweet about conspiracy theories.
And the Mets.
And the Mets.
And the Mets.
Oh, what has my life come to? But anyway, you know, as I was saying.
She's got sidetracked.
They basically – are running it back with the same roster.
What? Dude, what are you talking about? Huge pickup.
Who?
Starting power forward, Jared Sullinger.
Okay, I wasn't done yet. they picked up Jared Sullinger. I don't know. That doesn't really excite me that much. I mean, he's good, but I don't know. They lost. Nobody beats the Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah.
Re-signed DeMar DeRozan.
Drafted
Jakob Poeltl. Bringing back DeLon Wright.
The homie. Unfortunately, he's going to be sidelined for a minute, but we'll get him back up here, hopefully get on the podcast.
Norm Powell. You know, they got some nice young pieces, but, you know, it starts and ends with how well Lowry and DeRozan play. So Lowry heading into a contract year, so he's probably looking to have a big season. DeRozan obviously looking to elevate his game. So I don't know. It's kind of like status quo. I think the big thing for them is – getting a healthy DeMar Carroll. That was, you know, their big signing last year, and he was sidelined with a knee injury for most of the year. So I think it comes down, you know, I love the team, and, like, they're exciting and they're young and they're fun, but if you're going up against the Cavs, like, DeMar Carroll, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry against LeBron, I'm taking LeBron 10 out of 10 times.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I think another thing that we should at least touch on is just Jonas Valanciunas continues to be a guy that, like, every year I feel like we hear about, like, he could be something, and then it's either an injury or just doesn't develop in the way that people expect. So, I mean, he's only 24. So, you know, we got to remember that about a lot of these guys, but especially for a guy that big who's shown, like, he can take over games at times. Like, if he takes a big leap forward, you know, that could be something happening there. But I mean, it's like you said, this is going to come down to the backcourt playing as well as it did last year. The problem for me when I look at that team is, like, it really seems like last year was, like, the – how are they going to get better than what they did last year, especially in the regular season? Like, you know, that felt like they were peaking. And to be peaking and then get, you know, basically smoked by – I mean, they took games, but, like, you know, the Cavs – that was the Cavs year. So, like, how do the Raptors go from basically peaking and – failing to then peaking and succeeding?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for them was winning a playoff series, and they did that. I mean, they went to the conference finals. They had an amazing year, but it's the Cavs, dog, and it's the Cavs and everybody else at this point. You know, moving on to the Celtics, that's a team people are expecting a lot of big things from. I guess I'd say myself included. I don't know. I'm not like bullish on them. I'm kind of indifferent towards the Celtics at this point, I think, because, you know, how many times can you say, all right, we got Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, you know, Tyler Zeller, Kelly Olynyk.
You went right to Tyler Zeller. I skipped over the rest of their entire starting lineup.
I don't have the roster in front of me, so I'm scrambling for a name. All right.
I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, they made the biggest acquisition in the Eastern Conference, free agency-wise.
Facts.
I mean, all due respect to Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, who we'll get to later, but you know, Al Horford coming from the Hawks is the biggest free agent move in the entire Eastern Conference.
One of the biggest moves, free agent moves in Celtics history.
Is it?
Yes.
Free agent move.
Free agent.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, I mean, like...
I said free agent.
Sorry, when you say, like, biggest move...
I said biggest free agent move.
Okay,
it's
I guess I got to read the fine print.
Yeah.
Or just literally
open your ears, dog.
They're open, man. They're always open. What were we talking about? Oh.
Al Horford being a god.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, the Celtics were pretty fucking good without any semblance of, like, a capable big man, unless you call Kelly Olynyk a capable big man, which... I mean, he's whatever, but he's certainly no Al Horford, multiple-time All-Star. And not only that, but like an actual veteran to add to the to a team full of...
All-Star veteran.
All-Star veteran, big man, like not going to take any shit, has been around the block, knows the Eastern Conference, knows the playoffs. I think it's going to be a huge tool for a guy like Isaiah Thomas. Yeah. I mean, and all the rest of their guards too, but like especially to Isaiah Thomas... pick and rolls. I mean, it just becomes a nightmare for defense.
I mean, IT is going to ball out. You know, should hopefully be an all-star again this year. Big fan of his over here at Slam. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, again, like, I'm not sitting here going to say, like, Celtics are going to win 55 games. I'm not saying they're going to win 40. I don't know. They're going to be a very good 51
team. Well, the
team.
Cool thing is, I mean, look, I mean, at this point, we can probably stop comparing all these teams to the Cavs.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Put that one on ice. But, I mean, as far as, you know, the most interesting things about each of these teams and what's to look for and what's cool, like, you realize Gerald Green just re-signed with the Celtics.
It is pretty fire.
Sick. That's going to be so dope. Like, he's going to do four or five things this year that are going to be the most watched vines of the season.
Yeah. And I mean, Jaylen Brown is kind of in that same ilk as far as just being a super long, super bouncy kid. Hopefully develops. I don't know. Is Jaylen Brown's ceiling like a better Gerald Green or even higher than that?
Well, I think it's much higher than that.
I don't know. Gerald Green's had a pretty great career, all things considered.
Yeah, but I think Celtics fans are expecting much more out of Jaylen Brown.
Facts.
One of the smartest rookies to come into the league in a minute.
Facts.
Not to mention his physical skills. So, but, yo, the Celtics got a very interesting logjam of, like, young guards, too. Like, they just drafted Demetrius Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, James Young still hanging around. Terry Rozier, RJ Hunter. Guys that...
Ben Bentil.
Like, there's just, like, a lot going on there with the Celtics. Yeah. And
I actually like Terry Rozier a lot, too. I forgot about him. But he's they're My Celtics sources tell me that they're very high on Terry Rozier and are expecting him to play a lot of minutes this year. I don't know. I mean, like...
Look, the Celtics are going to forever be one of the teams that could make a move at some point during the season.
That's exactly what I was about to say. They're always...
The end of that conversation of listing off all these pieces is that,
yeah,
you know, these are attractive young pieces.
Right. I guess to bring that back full circle, like to where I started saying that, you know, how many times can you run it back with these same guys? It's like every year we say they're going to make a move. Every year they're in all these rumors. And then, I don't know, nothing really materializes. Like, is it because these kids aren't, you know, good enough that they're attracted to a GM to make the flip? Or what's good? I mean, the other thing we're leaving out is that they have, I think, either the Nets or Celtics. I mean, the Nets or the Lakers' first round pick next year. So they're like a team, probably one of the first teams in NBA history that could potentially make it to either the Eastern Conference semifinals or finals and get like a top three pick in the next year's draft, which is pretty insane. All right, I guess not insane enough for you to comment on. Moving on then. The next team I got on the list is the Pistons.
What kind of order are we doing?
I was just going to say, we should clarify that like there's no real rhyme or reason to this. I kind of just went by the teams I was interested in and that...
Pete printed out this list for me. I was like, okay, this is not alphabetical. Okay, this is not in the predicted order of finish. All right, this is not last year's order of finish. This is in absolutely no order.
Yeah, and then I asked you, all right, what do you want to do? And you're like, oh, I don't care, just whatever, let's just do it. So I don't
know. you already printed it out and handed it to me. I'm not sure what I would have done.
Literally would have taken 2 seconds.
Cut and paste, like literally with a scissors and a tape?
Nah, I'm barely even looking at this shit, so I could just cross things out.
You don't need to curse at me.
Come on, man. No, I'm already in a bad mood, and you're just pissing me off even further. And I know you're doing it on purpose, too, which makes me even crazier.
The Pistons. We shouldn't have done this right before one of our favorite teams. That feels like a wrong move to mess up the mood right before we talk about one of our favorite teams.
You host the show then, man.
I thought we're co-hosts.
No. I'm the host. All right, go ahead.
No, I mean,
all right, the Pistons.
Oh, okay, you got
it. So the big, obviously the big news came out yesterday that Reggie Jackson is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. I feel really bad about that injury. I just feel like that's something that's going to linger for the whole season, which sucks because the Pistons are one of our favorite teams collectively. Hold on, I'm talking to the wrong side of the mic.
Interestingly enough, the backup point guard who will now be the starting point guard, Ish Smith,
yeah,
who's a guy that got a lot of attention last year. I mean, it's funny because I hated on him for the longest, mostly just because I thought he was a good play, like a above average but not great player on the worst team in the league, which, you know, let him shine a little bit more. But this will be a great test of if I was completely wrong or not, because, you know, this actually is talented team that he's gonna be running now.
It's like, it's crazy how that low key turned into one of the biggest free agent signings of the year, and that dude was just sitting there for any team to pick up. So pick and roll. I'm not mad at a pick and roll with Ish Smith and Andre Drummond at all. I mean, defensively, he leaves a lot to be desired, but that's strictly because he's not very big.
He's
so
tiny.
He can't really help himself on that. So I'm not going to fault him on that. But, I mean, the big thing is, like, as we've been saying, you know, these young players got to develop, take the next step. I think them getting into the playoffs last year was huge. I think they have a great coach in Stan Van Gundy, which is going to help them win games that they shouldn't win. Going to keep them focused all year long. So, I don't know. It comes down to, one, is Drummond, is he going to be the real deal that everybody hopes he is, and, you know, develop his game a little more and actually be able to hit free throws and, like, jump hooks and all that.
Do you know what his free throw percentage was last season?
All the time I had it, I think it was, like, 39%.
35%.
Like, that's
that's so unbelievably bad. Like, I thought it – I was kind of, like, looking at his numbers a little bit, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember he was, like, a god-awful free throw shooter. But when you think of that, you think of, like, 60%, maybe 50% if you're truly the fucking worst. Mm. He was 35%, man. That's, like, hard to do.
Yo, it's crazy.
He could literally fire it off the backboard every time and probably make more than 35%. Like, he could shoot bank shots and probably make more
than
35%.
That's the thing. Like, if you're going to be considered a top-tier
35.
Player, you're a complete liability. You're leaving points at the stripe every single night, and two, you can't play like in crunch time. Like, you got to go offense for defense substitution. You can't have that if you're in the playoffs, dog. Like, you got to be able to play 40 minutes and at least hit like 50% at
least.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I would.
That's being generous.
I would hope that you know what's crazy too is I just read a story that he's using like virtual reality practice to practice his free throws, like when he's at home in the crib.
I mean, I hope it works. It's crazy.
This is 2016.
I was yeah. I mean, what are we doing here? What is going on? I was looking at box scores from last night. Speaking of just big man shooting free throws, wild random, but guess Rudy Gobert shot 12 free throws last night. Guess how many he made?
6.
Higher.
12.
11.
Wow.
That's pretty good. See, man.
There you go.
Yeah, so, I mean, it can be done.
You know what's the other crazy thing about this roster, just looking up and down? Your mans.
Who?
John Luer. You know how much he's going to be making this season?
Yeah, I know exactly how much. He's making $36 million over four years, right?
In the 2016-17 season, he's making $11 million this year. That's more than...
For those that can't see, my head is shaking so violently right now. My brains are scrambling.
That's more than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Marcus Morris combined by a lot. Like, those guys are making like $4 and $5 million respectively this year. And those are guys in the starting lineup.
Look, man.
Pete's like, headphones are going to fly off. He was shaking his head so much.
Look, I got nothing against John Lohr, but if you're making that much bread, how many points did he average last year? Do you have it up?
I don't.
Okay, whatever. I'm going to guess five. Under 12, right? Way
under 12? I was going to say under 6. Actually, yo, I stand corrected. It was 8.5 points per game.
I mean, he's got to get that up to 13 minimum. Minimum if he's coming off the bench.
I don't even think he's going to get enough minutes for that to be possible. They got Boban coming off the bench. They got Stanley Johnson, Reggie Bullock, Aaron Baines. Like, there's a logjam there. Can't average 9 points a game with all these guys on the Pistons. But that's neither here nor there. Should we move on to the next team?
No, I just want to shout out Stanley Johnson.
Perpetual shout out.
Yeah, just for being that dude. And, you know, we're expecting a big year out of him, and I think he's expecting out of himself. So hopefully we'll get that. And, yeah, I mean,
future podcast guest, we hope, as well.
I hope so. But, I mean, the thing is, it really just boils down to Reggie Jackson's health. So, if he's healthy, they're gonna be I'm not going to say a force to be reckoned with. They're going to be a very good team in the East. But if he's hurt, they're in trouble. Next team I got on the list is the Zards, the DC Zards.
Oh, boy. The aforementioned.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Another team I'm like kind of just indifferent towards. They're not necessarily on my
indifferent.
Yeah, it's me personally. How not necessarily you? On my league pass.
How dare you?
Must watches.
I mean, so here's the thing. Like, from an outsider perspective, I mean, I'm way too inside of this. Yes. But I'm saying for maybe other people, like fans of teams around the league, this starting lineup: John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Markieff Morris, Marcin Gortat. That's a good-ass starting lineup, at least on paper, is it not?
I'm not mad at it. No, I'm not mad at it at all.
This is the confusing thing for me as like a, you know.
John Wall, the new Stephon Marbury, you mean?
Oh, my God. Don't even put me down that rabbit hole. Anyways, you just threw me wow off track. But
they have a great starting. My they point have a good starting lineup.
The starting lineup appears, by all accounts, to be very solid. Now, obviously, we don't, you know, John Wall hasn't played in the preseason yet. His health is TBD.
Wait, what did I say? That he won't play a game till Christmas or later?
I think you did say that. Yeah.
How am I looking on that prediction right now?
Nah, I think he'll play before that. But
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Anyways, my point is, I'd be curious to hear what you think as far as why, like, looking at that starting lineup, shouldn't that be one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference off bat?
Oh, yes. I mean, the thing is, they've been had a good starting lineup and a good combination of talent. Nobody can stay healthy on that team ever. It's either John Wall's hurt, Brad Beal's hurt. Last year, Nene was hurt a ton. I don't want to misspeak, but I feel like Gortat was out for an extended period. So, and their bench sucked last year. Like, Jared Dudley didn't come through like people were expecting him to. Alan Anderson didn't play at all.
Barely fucking played.
Garrett Temple is a nice player, but, you know, he's like a seventh, eighth man.
I can't believe you even mentioned him.
They were pulling him off the bench. He's like a sixth man.
dude, he started like 40 games.
Exactly. So I don't frustrating. Know. That's the thing. Like, it all comes down to health of this team. And, you know, Brad Beal had a concussion in the preseason. John Wall isn't playing. And I don't know. That kind of leads me to believe that not much is going to change. Does Scott Brooks make that much of a difference?
I mean, not to go crazy big picture here, but I just think 5 years from now we're going to look back. I mean, it's already happened, basically, and see that the Wizards essentially wasted John Wall's, you know, prime season. Yeah. I mean, look at the free agent acquisitions they made this summer. Jan Mahimi, Andrew Nicholson, Jason Smith. What the hell, bro? That's terrible.
It's just not inspiring at all.
Got to do better than that. Got to put more pieces around John Wall. This team is destined to fall in that 40 to 44 win range again. And
they didn't make the playoffs last year, right?
No. Missed the playoffs.
So, I mean, that's the first step they got to take.
A lot of this is going to fall on Bradley Beal, you know, living up or not to his brand new contract, and if can he stay healthy?
Right. Well, I guess to look at it from a glass half full perspective, 2 years ago they went to the semifinals, right?
Yeah.
So, and no one was really expecting them to do shit that season. And then last season they had all these expectations on them after making it. You know, John Wall was supposed to take this next step with Brad Beal. They were talking about they're the second best backcourt in the league, and you know, it just went to shit early. So, you know, hopefully people aren't really expecting much from them this year. And then, you know, they have the reverse same effect that it had on them 2 years ago. I mean, they sneak up on people.
I mean,
again,
just to finish my thought from before is like, when you perpetually finish in that 40 to 44 win range, you perpetually also land in the exact middle of the first round of the draft.
Yes.
Where you end up with guys like Kelly Oubre, who could maybe be a nice player at some point, but they aren't franchise changing players.
And yes,
you're sort of destined to be in that 14 to 20 range of draft picks where you can't really snag a guy that's going to change your franchise.
You're in basketball purgatory.
And then
point.
If you're doing that, you got to go ham in free agency. And that just doesn't happen ever for the Wizards. So one last thing I want to say about the Wizards. Yo, look out for my man Thomas Satoransky, bro.
I was about to say the same thing. I think it's Tomas, is it not?
Whatever. I don't know how to say his first name
or his last
name.
I like that guy, man. He'll probably play like 3 minutes a game. And
straight out of the Czech Republic. You know, the Wizards drafted him back in 2012. Wizards fans have been waiting around to see this dude, having basically, I can speak as a Wizards fan, no idea who he is or what he looks like, what kind of player he is. Is he like a little Jose Calderon like running around or... But from what I've seen so far, this dude has hops.
Bouncy.
Athletic.
What's my man's name? He's not Jan Vesely 2.0?
I mean, yeah, there's only one Jan Vesely. Let's just leave it right there.
Cool. Next up, we got the Bulls. The three alphas. Ryan Nelson is super hype about the Bulls. He watched 5 minutes of preseason the other night and came in raving about what he saw. I mean, obviously, Dwayne Wade, the team's going to go as far as Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo. I've always wondered this because I've heard so many different.
Rajon.
Is it Rajon? Rajon. I've heard Rajon.
You've never heard Rajon, be honest. Who would say Rajon?
Maybe I just say it like that. You know, I can't pronounce anything correctly. But Rondo, Jimmy Butler, and Wade, the whole season comes down to one. I don't think there's any way those three guys get along for an entire season. It's just two. I mean, the big thing last year was like Rose and Butler allegedly didn't get along. I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, those stories are going to start creeping up immediately. One thing goes wrong. This guy said this. This guy said this. This guy said this. Rondo has been known to be testy with people. So, I don't know. I mean, like, whatever. It's actually a dope team on paper. Like, it's going to be super fun to just watch those three guys either do well or, like, be a train wreck. Either way, I'm gonna watch either way.
I mean, they have so much money invested in their entire starting lineup.
So much.
Count Robin Lopez.
Yeah.
Butler's making not quite as much as Wade, but a ton.
Yeah, Robin Lopez on the low played 82 games last year. Actually had like a good year. So I'm not mad at that starting lineup. It's just, I don't know, in a league that's going towards the perimeter and they have guys that rely on mid-range game and layups, and I don't know, that's just not in vogue, I guess. But who knows? I mean, there's always one team that bucks the trend and does well.
The funny thing is, like, from a watchability perspective, I always thought like the Bulls were just – a boring ass team to watch.
Yeah, but dude, it's so weird. Like, you turn into a Bulls game, even when they had Derrick Rose and were winning like 50 plus yeah. games a year. Like, something about like their broadcast and like the way their Bulls are presented just seems so.
Oh, you mean
so...
Stacey King? Who
Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's only his third year in the league.
He doesn't. Luckily, Giannis doesn't play for the Bulls. Can you imagine?
Oh my God, it'd be amazing. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. There's just something about the presentation that just seems so dry. Like, I don't know. I can never watch like a whole Bulls game.
But my point is, I think now, like, I think Wade being on the team instantly makes them like a sexy team to watch. If nothing else, just to see how all of everything you just said shakes out.
I mean, we've been kind of surprised. Like, I mean, harping on social media, but every time we post a Wade picture on, you know, Slam's Instagram account, it gets crazy amounts of likes and comments. Like,
dude, are you kidding? We're much bigger experts on social media than NBA basketball.
Facts. So he's still, in terms of popularity, he's still like one of the seven most popular players in the league, I'd say. So, and like, will probably be much more beloved than a lot of players the Bulls have had in the past.
It's also a strange season because, you know, and if you read, the latest Dwayne Wade story that we had in Slam
magazine.
Leo Sepkowitz wrote that one, or it just went online this week as well. Dwayne Wade's quotes in it are very interesting, like kind of strange because, he's talking about how he doesn't have to chase a ring anymore because he has three rings, which is like, if you're not a Bulls fan, you hear that, you're like, okay, like I get it. But if I was a Bulls fan, I'd be a little miffed.
Yeah,
like,
that's a little weird.
You know, like, you're just coming here to, like, play out the string. Like,
yeah.
Yes, you know, the Cavs are probably going to walk to the Eastern Conference Finals and NBA Finals. But, like, wouldn't you want Wade to be at least, like, talking outwardly, publicly, especially for a guy who's so good at PR, so good at media, so good at shaping his image and his team's image? Wouldn't you want him to be at least talking like they have, you know, he's coming here to win a championship?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like... I mean, this is like kind of a nice pivot into the Knicks, but like Derrick Rose has kind of been the exact opposite. He's come into New York and be like, nah, we're a super team. I'm here to compete. We're here to win. So, I mean.
Right. And the criticism there is like he's being crazy unrealistic. Like,
so what? Speaking from both a media and a fan standpoint, like, are we just too batshit, like, weird and crazy about basketball?
No, I mean, this is just the culture of being critical of literally everything. It's the same reason why anytime we post a top 50 player in our top 50 countdown right now, half the comments are, oh my God, I'm unfollowing your Twitter and your Facebook. This is so fucking stupid because he's too high. And then there's every other comment is, oh my God, you guys are so fucking stupid. This is too low. So it's, you know, it's just whoever says it first, it's like, oh yeah, like he's being unrealistic. Or, like, you know, there's we put an unfair expectation on these guys to hit the exact medium answer. And Dwayne Wade, who for 99% of his career has been hitting that exact perfect PR-ish answer.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like,
but then again, it's also like when someone gives like a PC kind of boring, like, oh, he answered it pretty correctly, answered not off the board, we're like, oh, what a boring guy.
I was just about to say, there's no in between.
Show your personality, and it's like, whoa, what the fuck are you talking about, bro?
Before we came in here, we were watching a Steph Curry interview, and Abe was just like, he just looks so annoyed, like, anytime anybody asks him a question, and I'm like, he probably is, dude. He's probably they've just been asked everything at
this
point.
If we've learned nothing from this job, I think we've learned that the amount of media that NBA players do is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's basically a 24, anytime you're awake, you have your eyes open, and you're not in the middle, you're not actually in the basketball game, you're basically answering questions.
I'm going to kind of disagree with you because I've watched too many Instagram stories of NBA players just holding the phone to themselves and rapping along to some nondescript rap song.
Okay, how long
is an
Instagram story? 10 seconds, bro?
Okay, to your point, if they're not answering questions, they're getting texted by somebody in the media being like, you have a couple of minutes, this, that, and the third. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, I empathize or even really sympathize, because this is what you get paid millions and millions of dollars for. This is part of being in the public eye. Like, it comes with the territory. But you're right. I mean,
just something to consider.
Yeah. I mean, so you're either going to say some stupid shit or something that doesn't really resonate with people at all. And then, like Paul, for example, Paul Millsap, arguably one of the, well, he, according to us, one of the top 30 players in the NBA, right?
Hashtag slam top 50.
I wouldn't know Paul Millsap if I tripped over him in the street.
That's not true.
I don't know, man.
I think you would.
It would take
me. Give yourself some credit.
I'd have to Google, like, to see. I'd be like, oh, I think that's Paul Millsap. I'd have to actually Google and see what he looks like, though.
Maybe not in, like, Times Square.
Okay. This is obviously hyperbole.
If you walk down your block in Queens.
Yeah, this is obviously hyperbole, but I'm just trying to say, like, Paul Millsap, a top 30 player, has never really, you know, I've never really read a quote or a story about Paul Millsap. We're like, wow, like, Paul Millsap is out of here, man. What's wrong with this guy? You know, you can't say the same thing about anyone else. So, speaking of crazy-ass teams, we got the New York Knicks. Probably the craziest of the crazy, as far as just, I gotta stop using the word crazy too. I'm just realizing it's an ableist term. So
also crazy fans as well, as our last podcast proved. Shout out to Sky Zoo.
I think delusional.
Oh my god, so delusional
fans. I mean, it's been well documented the moves the Knicks have made. I mean, this feels like a boom or bust year. It feels like they're either gonna win 50 games or they're gonna win 30 and have to blow the whole thing up. And I remember last year we were doing a podcast, and it was when the whole Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes thing was going
good
down.
Times.
And you
simpler
great,
times.
Great times. And you were like, I wonder what Kristaps thinks of all this. And like, now year two with Kristaps, like, you got the Derrick Rose situation.
Oh man.
You got like Phil Jackson situation, like all this crazy shit. And it's like, what the hell does Kristaps think of all
like,
this?
What do you think Kristaps like tells his boys, like when he goes home or like in the group chat?
Yo,
Latvian group chat, like they're like, yo, what's up with like you guys? Like, how's practice going? Like, what do you think he says?
Like, the more things change, the more they stay the same in Nick world, man. It's crazy. But again, I'm sorry for crazy. But I think, you know, like looking way down the bench, like Billy Hernan Gomez and the other kid that played with Porzingis in Spain, whose name I cannot pronounce. I'm going to butcher it.
Mindaugas?
Yeah. I think like.
Wait. Are you talking about the dude that looks like Ellen DeGeneres?
Exactly what I'm talking
Smack
about.
Like, I'm about to go retweet myself on that in a few.
But I think like that's kind of like a good outlet for Porzingis to just finally, you know, have some younger kids on the team with him that he can at least talk to me. Like, I don't know what is going on. You see what I got to deal with out here? But I digress. Like, I've been hearing, sources have been telling me that. Melo just looks like he's lost like more than a step, you know, in the last couple of years. And, you know, this is Porzingis' team at this point. As much as the Knicks try to force the Melo, Rose, Noah thing down people's throat, it's about Kristaps, man. It's really about Kristaps.
Sure.
So, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on the Knicks at all?
I mean, I just don't want to spend any more time on the Knicks. I feel like we've overdone
the Knicks,
overcooked on the Knicks for a team that is probably going to settle in the 5-8 range of the Eastern Conference, and that's being generous if you ask me. So, yeah, I mean, and I don't want to give any more attention to the Derrick Rose thing either, which we're just going to have to let play out and see what happens. But we should give a shout out to Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, I mean, watch a little bit of the preseason game the other night. He looked pretty good to my eyes, you know, maybe not statistically. I don't even know what his numbers were, but looked like he was at least like in the flow, and I'd be excited to see how he does in New York in the Garden with the feel and everything. Yeah. So,
I mean, the big thing with him last, and I mean, he's like the classic guy that the Knicks fans will love if he plays well. But I mean, the big thing with him last year coming off an Achilles injury, like that injury takes at least a year plus to really, I mean, just based on history and watching guys like, That takes at least 12 to 18 months to really recover from. So hopefully, because when he's at his best, he's athletic, getting to the rim, you know, penetrating, throwing oops, all that. Like last year, he was just settling for threes a lot. So hopefully he's back to that form, because, you know, we're big fans of him. We want to see him do well. Yeah, I mean, we want to see the Knicks do well, period. I mean, it's fun. Like, it's fun going to Knicks games and, you know, even sitting media and, like, having, like, the team be good and interesting and, you know, seeing, like, big-time media personalities there and them getting lot of coverage. So, you know, for our, like, personal, professional environment, like, it's good to see the Knicks do well.
I just want Brandon to be as good on the court as he is on SoundCloud.
And social and Twitter.
But especially SoundCloud. Facts. I swear to God, I get like 50% of all new music straight from Brandon Jennings. Facts. SoundCloud or Snapchat or Instagram stories. I'm like, yo, what the hell is that song he's playing in his Snapchat? Shit is fire.
It's kind of sad how much time we spend looking at people's Snapchat, Instagram stories. But
would you rather look at their Instagram stories and Snapchats or like read an article in which they're quoted? Okay, moving
definitely
on.
The latter, because I actually know their personality instead of, oh, he looks great. It's all about.
I realize I just said something that just told people not to read our very own work.
That's why I didn't want to answer.
And whatever, man.
It just reminded me of the
I'm not going to be out here thinking that people would rather read me talking about someone or to someone than just literally seeing them speak themselves into a camera. Let's not be ridiculous. A
harsh reality. And that just makes me think about the thing we were talking about yesterday with Adlib or Mad Libs.
Oh, yeah.
Moving
shout
on.
Out, shout out to all the Mad Libs.
Next, we got the Miami Heat. You know, obviously, Wade gone. I mean, the big three era is over. And, you know, sucks. But, good times,
right?
Good times, man. Good times for Heat fans and the Heat organization. It sucks the way Chris Bosh is going out with that team.
There's a new big three, man.
Who?
Tyler Johnson, yes. Hassan Whiteside, and
Justice
Winslow.
Big four, even, with Josh Richardson.
Big five, Dion Waiters.
Oh, I forgot he went. All right. There.
So once again, like, talking about the X's and O's of this basketball team is pointless. But if you look at this roster, Goran Dragic, Dion Waiters, Justice Winslow, Derek Williams, Hassan Whiteside, Tyler Johnson. Like, it's just a really weird mix of like cast offs, but also like guys who could be really, really good.
Yeah.
But we just like don't know yet because we haven't seen enough or we haven't seen them be featured. So, again, like, this is going to, like, I have no idea how good the Heat are going to be.
No idea. They're complete unknown.
Because what if, like,
I kind of fuck with their roster, though.
It starts with, is Whiteside for real or not?
Yeah.
And then it goes to,
like,
are these guys going to pan out? Like, Justice Winslow could really continue to get better and build his offensive game. And we already know he's a great defender. Like, is he going to continue to get better? Tyler Johnson, is he
$50 million player?
Is he 3 months from going back to the D League? Yeah. Or can he be, like, a starter in the NBA?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, more than anything, they're going to throw out some very interesting lineups. I mean, they're probably gonna have Winslow playing the four a lot, and then, you know, we completely left out Goran Dragic,
the Dragon,
who I think is still a very good point guard. I don't know, that's kind of all I got on the Heat. You got anything else?
Well, do you think they make the playoffs? I don't think they do. I mean, their Vegas has their over under at 35 wins.
I don't know. I mean,
and this is another candidate for a team that could start shedding parts, you know, at the trade deadline, around the All-Star break, whatever, because we just listed off a bunch of pieces, even like the Josh McRoberts of the world, Beno Udre. Like, there's pieces there that, like, there's the bench depth around even the Eastern Conference, but, and we'll wait till we get to the Western Conference in the next pod, but, like, the bench depth around the league is some shit, basically. Yeah. And, like,
facts.
A team like the Heat has, like, all these moving parts. Even, like, Wayne Ellington, who's nothing special but has shown that he can score in the league. Like, these are pieces that could help out teams, you know, that are pushing towards the playoffs, making playoff runs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – at this point, it's hard to, you know, doubt Spoelstra and Pat Riley and Mickey Arison. So, I don't know. I mean, you can never count the Heat out. I'll just leave it at that. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not. I'm just not going to count them out. Next, we got the Hawks.
Dwight Howard.
So they signed Howard, say goodbye to Jeff Teague and Al Horford, re-up with Paul Millsap. So, I don't know. Again, not terribly interesting, but Kyle Korver is like 37 and still just jacking threes. I'm kind of down with it.
I mean, Schroeder moving into that starting role.
Shoot again, 30 minutes a game, 30, 40 minutes a game.
Can never pronounce that name.
It's all good.
And Jarrett Jack is his backup, which is kind of interesting.
Was he hurt last year or the year before?
Yeah, I think he was hurt last year. But, you know, that's a dude that I feel like is going to be like chomping at Schroeder's heels as far as a starting job. No?
No.
They're just going to let him rock.
Who? Schroeder?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's why they got rid of
Well, obviously, but I'm saying, like, I don't know. Having watched, like, a little bit of Schroeder and, you know, wrote a feature story on him last season, like, I don't know if he's all the way suited to be playing starting point guard minutes for an entire season. Like, I don't know. I think that's the obvious. Everyone might point to Dwight Howard on this team as, like, the thing to watch, but I think the Schroeder thing
for
is,
sure.
Yeah.
And then Kent Bazemore is going to start the two for them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, the Hawks, they're going to be good. They're always good. But
yeah,
but
Hawks, for me, go in that same category of, like, I would never turn on a Hawks game and be like, oh, shit, here we go.
You're so right. Like, who cares?
The only thing, quite honestly, the only redeeming quality they have is Sir Foster, the in-game organist.
Facts.
Shout out to our homie, Sir Foster.
Jarrett Jack, is he from Atlanta?
Georgia Tech.
Yeah. So, that's cool, I guess.
They also have the most hideous jerseys in the NBA
I think that
standards.
Makes them hard to watch.
They have, like, a pretty hideous court as well.
Yeah. I mean, got a shout out. Is Mike Scott still on that team?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Got
the human emoji.
One time young, for the human emoji.
Young emoji?
Yeah. All right, word. Next, we got the Hornets.
I think is the best way to describe the Hornets, actually.
I'll just never get over the fact that a Kemba Walker, Lance Stevenson backcourt didn't work. That's always been devastating to me.
It's super depressing. You're right.
I mean, they are, but they, I guess, well, like, I remember a few years ago, I, like, went through this phase where I was like, I'm done. I'm going to watch. This is, like, when I actually, like, cared about watching the Knicks and, like, considered myself a Knicks fan. I was like, I'm going to watch the Knicks, but I'm also going to have a team where I watch and follow obsessively. And it was the Hornets. And they sucked. And it was when Kemba and Lance were there. And, like, they were just so bad that it kind of ruined it for me. Mm-hmm. But I do love Kemba. I mean, Marvin Williams, I don't know, man. I have a hard time believing he can put together a year like he had last year.
Yeah,
he was
unbelievable last year. They're gonna roll out like a strange, like, small lineup. I think with Batum, MKG, and Marvin Williams probably all in the same lineup with Kemba and and you would think Cody Zeller is the big man there.
They got Roy Hibbert too, right?
Yeah. I don't know how they, or maybe Hibbert
plays, Kaminsky.
Kaminsky. Like, I think they're probably best suited to go small and have those three sort of like 6'8", 6'9" guys on the court at the same time, but I don't know. It just, like, feels like the pieces don't necessarily fit. But look, I mean, the cool thing is, like, Kemba Walker's really proven to be
good as hell
and a lead player. Like, for a guy that many people thought would maybe, at least, like, super initially, maybe go, like, the Jimmer route of, like, not really fitting in the NBA and being more of, like, a forever known as a college star that never made in the league. Like, he's established himself.
Yeah.
Basically the best player on this team.
By far. Well, I guess.
I mean,
I don't
Batum.
Know. Yeah, Batum, you're
you
right.
Know, people are, you know, I've never really, like, gotten the Batum thing. I
never bought into the Batum vibe either.
He's, like, very, like.
He's just kind of boring.
He's just like a. Like, he does. I feel like Batum is, like, the stat people's, like, champion. Like,
yeah, and we hate those
When
guys,
have you ever
man.
Been, like, in a conversation about the NBA, like, in real life?
Like,
and
yo,
someone
you
be like, yo, you know how I fuck with heavy? Batum, baby.
So, yo, you peeped the Nick Batum game last night?
Has anyone ever worn a Nicholas Batum jersey? Have you ever fucking seen that?
The only Batum jersey I would rock is a French national team Batum jersey. That's it.
Yeah, which does, like, you're not going to see that either.
Exactly.
Though. Like, people are, there's probably, like, six players on this Hornets team that would be more likely to see a jersey of them, like, in the streets of New York or any other big city than Batum.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing for them is if Mike Gilchrist can't stay healthy this year, like, at what point do you just kind of cut ties with him, you know? I mean, he's literally one of the nicest people in the NBA, and has such an amazing story that I've been rooting for him so hard. And when he plays, he's good, like really good. But he just can't stay on the court, man. I honestly generally feel really bad for him. And
yeah,
you know, I hope for his sake and for the Hornets' sake that things work out.
Should also point out that super, super hoping that Perry Ellis makes the team, just for continued Perry Ellis jokes throughout.
Oh,
yeah, his career in the NBA.
Word. Next, we got the Bucks, who last year was my league pass team to watch every single night, and they sucked. Another disaster.
33 wins last year. Yeah,
I mean, after making the playoffs the year before, I mean, that was probably the biggest letdown in their bay last year. And like, I don't know, you got to be careful of these young teams that, you know, have this flash in the pan year, and then you're like, all right, this is it. Like, the Bucks about to start their run. Just didn't happen for them last year. The Greg Monroe signing didn't work out. Now he's coming off the bench, which kind of speaks to your Al Jefferson point earlier. Like, he's probably going to eat up on some second line bigs, but, you know, still, like, the league is moving away from his style of play, and he's not, I don't know. He's cool, I guess. That's my analysis.
Yo, but, I mean, the thing that really, you know, kills the Bucks is the Middleton injury, because it's like, You're either starting Rashad Vaughn, who's like clearly not ready. He's like, what, 19 years old?
Yeah.
Or you're starting Jason Terry, who's like 50. So, I mean, that's like, was strangely enough, like a huge, huge injury for them. Yeah. I mean, not to mention that this dude is a 20-point a game scorer, but
he got big money too, right?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah. So that's like a devastating injury for them. Even though you wouldn't off top think of Chris Middleton as a guy that if he goes down is huge, but I think that's a huge injury.
That's like
for them.
Borderline potentially season killing injury.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing they have is like Giannis could potentially be so good that he can make up for any and all things that Chris Middleton would have done outside of like 3-point shooting. But like, I can sit here with a straight face and say that Giannis could very well average like 21. 9 and like 6 assists this season, and I wouldn't even be blown away by it.
I feel like the Bucks, you know, made some of these other moves. Like, look, they signed Dellavedova, and whatever you think of him, I'm not a huge fan, but him and Mirza Teletovic and Jason Terry, even, I feel like they made some of these moves as like just like pieces, like that they're gonna try to add to like this very young core of guys, and they probably would have been a playoff team, and now all of a sudden the Middleton injury is like, now those dudes are like critical guys are like in your 6-man, 7-man rotation, and it's gonna get a little ugly fast.
Word. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that Dellavedova could like work his way into the starting lineup.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Carter Williams, after the Rookie of the Year season, I don't want to like shit on people, but like, he just hasn't really lived up to it. I'm a fan of his. I did a story on him when he was in college. You did hit one of him his rookie year.
But it doesn't even matter because Giannis is the point guard.
Facts. Yeah. I mean, I guess he's got to be. But, like,
he is.
That doesn't really instill a lot of, like, hope in me that the team is going to win.
Don't you want the ball in his hands at all times?
Yes, facts. But he's still so raw. And, like, I don't know. I feel like.
Of course. But I feel like even more so now, like, you've got to roll with that as the experiment.
Yeah.
Not to mention, we haven't even mentioned Thon Maker.
The god.
The homie. Yeah. So looking for big things out of him.
But he's hurt already. That's the thing. He's not even playing in the preseason.
He'll be fine.
I don't know. I mean, I'm here for Thon Maker, Giannis, Jabari Parker lineups for sure. That's another big piece. Like, if Bari, you know, again, we were speaking about injuries before in relation to Brandon Jennings. Like, an ACL injury is another thing that takes over a year to bounce back from fully. So a fully healthy Jabari could be a problem. Like, maybe he can't stretch the floor like you would want him to, I guess. But, you know, he's still 20, 21, 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Super athletic, super just good. Like, he could be a 20-point scorer in the league.
Super good, man. Super good.
Are you mocking me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why, man? Is he not?
No. He's nice as hell.
Damn, man.
I'm
getting a little fatigued, man. I can't lie.
All right, let's move on. Only a couple teams left. Orlando Magic. Let's go. They made a couple, like, strange-ass moves.
Weird-ass moves.
Almost like what the hell are the Magic doing?
What the hell are the Magic doing is exactly the best way to put it. I mean, They like made all these weird ass moves.
I literally just scratched my head, and I didn't even mean it as like this is a head scratcher. I just had an itch on top of my head.
All right,
that was really weird that happened.
We're gonna sign Bismack Biyombo, who kind of does
Biz,
who's like does a lot of what Aaron Gordon does, and we're gonna sign Serge Ibaka, who also does what a lot of Aaron Gordon does. And then we're just going to have Aaron Gordon, too, who's kind of like the centerpiece of the franchise at this point. So I don't know. I didn't really understand these moves.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon feels like a small forward who's in like the wrong era of basketball, doesn't he? He's going to play small forward.
Yeah, he has to. I guess he could, I don't know.
And supposedly, you know, he's been extending his range, but like that seems not believable until we see it.
I don't believe that for a second. Everybody's extending the range.
Then again, it's like if you have him on the floor with Ibaka, he actually can shoot threes. So
Ibaka can.
Well, he's at least shown a willingness to take them. I don't have his percentages in front of me.
No, you're saying Ibaka?
Yes,
can. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I have zero confidence.
You know
the
who's the highest paid player in the starting lineup?
Evan Fournier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know they gave him big money in the offseason.
The highest paid players on the team are Fournier and Biyombo. And Jeff Green at $15 million a year as well.
Dude, Jeff Green. Keep
Jeff Green low-key threw down a nice reverse dunk last night.
Jeff
though,
Green always
preseason.
Pops up like once every couple weeks. You're like,
I've always been a Jeff Green fan.
Same.
Man.
I have nothing bad to say about Jeff Green.
And you know what? A lot of people do have bad things to say about Jeff Green.
Didn't he have like a open heart surgery and came back and played?
Man. He's got a gigantic scar down the middle of his chest.
It's remarkable.
I thought he was always a nice like piece off the bench, man, or at least like a fun player. Jesus, there's enough boring players in the NBA.
Facts. He'll at least go up and bang on somebody.
Yeah.
Can bang on somebody, you know, dude?
Yo, fuck yeah, dude.
All right, that's all I got to say about the Magic. Next, we got the Sixers. I am so fucking tired of the Philadelphia 76ers. I can't take it anymore.
Whoa!
Dude. I can't take it anymore.
Yo, talk about it.
It's just, they suck, number one. Everybody was like, has been shitting on them for years and years and years. And now, you know, everybody's coming back healthy. And they're like, all right, all in on the Sixers bandwagon. Nah, bro, they suck. I'm so tired of hearing about them. So tired.
Well, it
of
is true that
the way they hijacked like a certain part of the NBA fandom and like a certain part of the internet, the NBA's internet, and like NBA writers like live and die by the Sixers. Man, they're just so boring and bad, and I hate them. I hate them.
Okay, tell us how you really feel. No, I mean I kind of agree with your general sentiment as far as like, why are we always talking about the Sixers?
Okay.
There's so many good teams in the NBA, so many good storylines, so many good players. We're always talking about this team that's the worst team in the league. And
continually the
they're
worst.
They're
going to
be the worst team
in
the
league
again.
Again.
I mean, at this point, you know, this time it's not necessarily their fault, the Ben Simmons freak injury.
Yeah.
No one could have predicted. But that basically ensures they're going to be the worst team in the league again.
I have no – and to even – make this point clear, I don't have any beef with the players. I just have beef with like
I was about to say
people
the same
liking
thing.
Like people like just
if anything
jocking the Sixers. I don't get it.
If anything, I think there's actually up and down the roster, there's tons of likable players.
Hell
not
yeah.
Only as basketball players but as people, and it's actually like a kind of a fun team to watch because there's so many guys that you remember from great college teams, mm-hmm. or you know, guys with so much potential. There's a lot of like things happening, like Sixers games are entertaining basketball whether it's a close game or not.
Yeah,
because it's like so it's just raw basketball.
Yeah, and like last year they like nearly knocked off the Warriors. They're
exactly.
they're always due for like a freak show game because they have talented players. They just suck.
But as you point out, like unfortunately you can't just watch it and sort of consume it, enjoy it, point out funny things that happen, cool things that it always has to be shrouded by like this weird cult of talking about the Sixers.
Yeah.
Philosophically, in a philosophical manner, in a like existential manner.
I'm trying to like think of a team. Even if they got treated like the Celtics, I wouldn't be mad. It's like Celtics got all these young players like who do cool stuff, some cool stuff every now and then. And then
that's basically full stop right there. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. That should be how we treat the Sixers.
But like nationally, like, the Celtics don't get a lot of love.
Like,
you know?
Why I have even heard the name Sam Hinkie one time since
enough with this dude.
April, like, yo, what? Like, the Ben Simmons injury happened. I forget who it was. I don't want to throw shots, but I don't know if it was, like, the cauldron or SB Nation. Again, I don't know who it was, so I'm sorry in advance. But like someone quoted the Ben Simmons injury tweet and was like, "Oh, this one isn't Sam Hinkie's fault."
Oh my God!
It's like, holy shit!
Who was even thinking that?
Why did you think of that? Why is that guy's name even in your head when an injury happens? Like, and it just, I wanted to throw my laptop across the room or out the window. I was so fucking confused by that and frustrated.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, Joel Embiid is going to be awesome to watch and develop. I don't know. And I feel kind of bad for, like, Okafor and Noel. They're just kind of just getting casted off and, you know, thrown to the curb a little bit. I don't think either player deserves that.
Yeah, good for Noel for, like, at least beginning to speak up a little bit. Like,
going back to our point where people, if you don't say anything, people just shit on you, well, and then if exactly. you stick up for yourself.
I mean, dude, like, this isn't a situation where I would stand idly by and just sort of let things happen if I was a player on the Sixers.
Yeah, he's looking at himself like, yo, I'm trying to get paid, dude, and I got to play to get paid, so I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah, I mean, see, this is one of those where I'd be very interested at this point to go, you know, go talk to, like, former Sixers now that have sort of been mm-hmm. – went through this and now we're in other places, either safely landed or not, and sort of see what that was all like, and like, are they happier to now not be in that situation,
or if it helped or hurt their career,
the trade-off between like playing time versus that culture. So
yeah, interesting. That'd be interesting as hell, actually. And finally, we got the Brooklyn Nets, baby. New York's team,
feel the excitement.
New York's team,
woo.
We've actually, it's weird that we've actually grown to love this team.
Yeah. No, for all of the mocking of the last 3 seconds, this is actually going to be an awesome team as far as, like, human beings.
Yeah.
They're going to be a terrible team.
Not as far as winning, getting wins, but very.
I mean, they won 21 games last year. Do they go over or under that?
I think they go over, honestly. Not by much.
I think they go under. I mean, I just don't. Who are they beating?
I think that, I mean, they have a...
And they play in the division with the Raptors, Celtics, and Knicks. And Sixers, obviously.
I feel like they have a better roster than they did last year, though.
Okay.
And
well,
a better
coach. Let's take off some of the... I mean, look, their starting lineup, Jeremy Lin, mm-hmm. Brooke Lopez, mm-hmm. those are, like,
good
real
players.
NBA players.
Yeah.
Bogdanovich, Hollis Jefferson, and Booker is probably... going to be the rest of the starting lineup with our man Sean Kilpatrick being the sixth man, you would think. Perhaps Randy Foy and Vasquez, when he gets healthy, would be in that mix as well.
All right, I'm feeling less confident about my overpick.
And beyond that, I mean, don't drop your microphone, bro.
Hit myself in the chin.
Holy moly, got so excited about the Nets. Beyond that, they drafted Caris LeVert as well. Chris McCullough still in the mix. Anthony Bennett wound up with the Nets as
Isaiah Whitehead,
former number one pick. Whitehead. So kind of a random smattering again.
Yeah.
All very likable guys. You know, Sean was up here talking about everything.
Just being very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nice. Just up here being cool.
Well, this is the thing. Like, they're going to sign as many players as they can and just hope they hit on one or two of them. So I'm not mad at it. That's the strategy you got to take when you're rebuilding from literally the ground up.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I wonder long-term what ends up happening with Lopez, just because you wonder if he's in the future plans, if he's kind of the one and only trade piece they have. You know, what they end, considering they have almost no picks coming up.
How is he
they
not?
They can't even wait to, like, reboot until they get their picks back.
How is that dude not demanded a trade? It's just mind-boggling to me.
Are you kidding? He loves the comic book shops in Brooklyn.
Same, I guess.
Dude, I don't think Brook Lopez, like, has any awareness of, like, NBA transactions, dude. I think he's just, like, in the crib, like, with his, like, dogs or cats or whatever.
Dude.
And, like, like Skyping his – or, like,
they probably don't – I feel like you got to be Brooke Lopez's agent and be like, dog, like, you can actually go to a good team. You don't need to suffer through this.
He's like, what? Wait, really? I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Oh, man. Speaking of Brooke Lopez, it's going to be bugged out in, like, 20 years when our kids are of age and, like, are reading NBA history, and they'll be like, man, Brooke Lopez put up some monster numbers. And we'll be like, he did?
I mean, dude, like, it's the same thing with, like, I remember, like, the last 2 months of some Wizard season, Andre Blatch was averaging a triple-double. And this is going to like be in history somewhere on bballreference.com.
Speaking of guys walking down the street and not noticing them, when I used to live in Chinatown, Andre Blatch was walking down Canal Street, which is arguably like the busiest street in New York, and I was the only person that recognized him.
Rough times.
All right, we made it, man. The marathon is over.
Shit, that was the whole Eastern Conference? Yeah, goddamn.
All 15 teams, man.
Woo! So the Cavs. We like the Cavs.
I mean, like, once we got past, like, team five, I was like, these sucks.
You know what? Strangely enough, though, I actually think, like, the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference is going to be more competitive than the West, which we'll get to on the next podcast. But yeah. West is so top-heavy, and by top-heavy, I mean one team.
Yeah.
That I think the Eastern Conference race might actually end up being more entertaining than the West.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hyped to watch these young players.
Hell yeah.
Who's real quick, who's like your league pass team from the East that you're going to follow?
You mean besides the Wiz? Besides my Wiz?
Yeah, besides the Wiz.
I mean, I think Indiana is going to end up being one that I'll keep an eye on just because I think Paul George is going to have a monster year. I mean, I think the Bulls will be forever interesting just because, like, Dwayne Wade is like we mentioned before, is such a still like such a superstar in the NBA. We don't even realize that the attention on the Bulls is going to be wild, crazy. Yeah. So I think those would be my couple teams, and then I would probably throw the Celtics in there as well.
I feel like we watched between me, you, and Figman. We talked about or had texts about the Pistons like a lot during the season and like random nights. Pistons. Okay. I feel like last season we talked about the Pistons a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
will we continue with Pistons?
We probably will just because the ongoing Ish Smith ish.
Yeah.
Yo, are you okay over there, man?
I'm really not.
Dropping everything.
I'm so.
All right, let's wrap this thing up, man. All right. You got to get your life together. Yo, after that Mets loss.
Yo. Yeah, you're so right. I got to recover.
I also have to take a picture of your current stance. This is unreal.
I got to regroup, man. This is.
Got it.
Oh, man. So shout out to everybody who tracked this and actually listened for this long. We appreciate you as always for tuning in. Yo, shout out to my mans on NBA Reddit who said that who recommended this podcast to people. That was the best look of the week last week.
We should almost like edit in that dude's name, like word. Go look it up.
That guy was a god, whoever you are. But yeah, we'll be back next week to preview the West.
We got some guests coming soon as well. Don't be worried about that.
I can't confirm that as of now, but I will back that statement 100%.
Don't you know, just promise things if it don't happen, whatever, no one remembers.
Yeah, we got to talk it to existence, you're right. But not Abe, good looks, my pal, appreciate you hanging with me and sharing in my misery.
I got you, bro, I'm sure I'll be in the same boat next week.
Oh yeah, you got your shit Nationals playing this weekend.
Oh, whoa, hey, better end the podcast.
Yeah, perfect, it's over, peace.